Thank you, Catherine, for reading that. I do love that passage. Johnny, we're looking forward to what God will bring out of it through you a little later. But Anne, I think you're going to come and give us an update now on the work that you're involved in. I just have to go and do some magic with the slides. But then, if you press that button, it'll go forwards.
Okay, while Mike's bringing up the PowerPoint, it is lovely to be with you. The last time we were here was 2011, I think. As you can see, the three children have grown somewhat. And if you're looking around wondering where the children were, actually they disgraced themselves so badly last time we were here, we decided not to let them near the church again. I don't know if you remember. I think you were here, Mike. You interviewed the children. You asked them what was the best thing about being in the UK, and their answer was going to New York. It's always dangerous to let the missionary children speak. So anyway, they're actually at the youth group at Christchurch Greenbank this evening. We've been there this afternoon, and they've stayed on for the youth group, having already heard Dad's sermon. And this is the third service of the day, so we thought we'd let them go to the youth group instead. But they do send their greetings. Matthew is now 16. He's waiting for IGCSE results and is heading into sixth form to do international baccalaureate. Bethan is 14, about to start her GCSEs. And Joshua, the youngest, is waiting to grow. Bless him. It's tough being the youngest child. He is moving into year 8 when we go back at the end of this trip. Now, what am I supposed to press? Let's see if I remember to do this. There we go. So our theme for this evening is being Christ's ambassadors, that verse from the passage we've just read. And we just want to very briefly share three ways in which the Lord has opened doors for us to be Christ's ambassadors in Bangkok. And for those of you who don't know us very well, we have been in Thailand for over 20 years. We were working with students in central Thailand, then international students in Bangkok with the Thai equivalent of UCCF. And we are now, I'm teaching full-time in an international school where our children attend, and Johnny is working full-time with a local Thai church, which has about 20 members. It's a very small church, right on the edge of a slum community. So I'm working with the very, very, very wealthiest people of Bangkok, and Johnny is working with some of the poorest people of Bangkok. But we often find, as we compare notes at the end of the day, that the issues are exactly the same. It doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor, they have the same heartaches, the same struggles, and the same need of the gospel. So in the school, it's a secular school. I'm a history teacher, which means that we are in that school as salt and light and praying daily for opportunities to show God's love. Johnny is preaching regularly in the church in Thai. It is a Thai congregation. And then also doing outreach into the community. Really what we want to do this evening is, rather than bore you with loads of statistics and job titles, is just share three stories with you of people who we have had the privilege of sharing the gospel with, and they themselves are now sharing the gospel with others. So the lady in this picture here is called Lek. She's actually our house help. She helps me in the home while I'm working full time. Lek lives in the slum community next to the church. When we first met Lek, she was living in a tin shack, literally corrugated iron put together to kind of give them a bit of protection. And the first contact she had with church members was her two daughters going along to a kids club that was running in the community. And then as rainy season came, church members discovered that she had a hole in her roof and the water was pouring through the roof. So church members came along and fixed her roof. She was amazed, because why would these white foreigners care about me when people in my own society don't care about me? What is it about these people that means they actually care enough to fix my roof? She started to get interested. She took a Bible from the church, took it home. Her husband was an alcoholic and a gambler, addicted to gambling, and he destroyed the Bible. So she took another one, and he beat her up and destroyed the Bible. So they developed a pattern where members of the church would go to her house with a Bible in their bag. They would do a Bible study together when her husband wasn't there, and then they would take the Bible away and keep it safe for her. Her husband, sadly, in this process of her seeking to know more about the gospel, her husband committed suicide and left her not only with two girls to raise on her own, having not completed education, having never worked full time, but also she inherited all of his gambling debts. So here she was, a woman in absolute destitution, two children, no job, and a huge debt over her head. On one of the days of the funeral, the debt collectors actually came in and cleared out anything of value in the house that they could take and sell to try and pay off some of her debt. Over time, as the church showed her Christ's love, as we nurtured her family and cared for her practically, she came to faith in Jesus Christ, and she's now one of the key members in our church. The amazing thing about Lek is over time, as she's worked for our family, we've paid her a fair wage, which is fairly unusual for someone in her circumstances. Usually they'd be working day to day, earning a few baht here and there. But we pay her a monthly salary. She works for us. And over time, she's been able to save money to pay off all her husband's debts. And she's now living debt free, which in her community is almost unheard of. She's also been able to build herself a brick house, a proper house with proper doors and windows. But she chose not to move out of the community that she was living in. She said, no, this is my home. These are my people. And so she is living in the same community, a community that's full of crime, of teenage pregnancy, of abortions. It really is one of the grimmest places you can imagine. But she's chosen to stay there as a Christian and to witness in that community, giving the message of hope that she's received, sharing that with other people. Through our work in the school and in the church, we meet a lot of hurting people. As well as being the history teacher at school, I'm the safeguarding lead, the child protection officer for the school. But in Thailand, that is something very different to the UK. We don't have social services, we don't have GP services, we don't have free counselling services. And so the school becomes the support network for every family in that school. And if there's a crisis in the family, if there's a problem in the family, it's the school that works with the family to deal with those issues. And so regularly I am meeting with parents and students where parents have beaten their child because they didn't get straight A's and the child has come to school with visible bruising. We have children who are self-harming because they're not coping with the academic pressure that's on them. We have occasionally had children who have been suicidal. We've had issues where families have been going through a breakup and they're from two different countries in the world, and concern over custody of the children and whether one parent would snatch the children from school and take them to a third country. So huge issues in the school. We also, within the community, working with people who live in a slum community, there are huge issues around poverty. But one of the other things that's happened is that our very, very tiny church on the edges of Bangkok, almost hidden away. It doesn't look like a church building. We just meet in a shop house, on a row of shop houses in the community. But the Lord keeps bringing refugees to our church door. And at Christmas, two Afghani men arrived on our door. They looked Muslim. They spoke very little English. And they asked for help. They said that they were refugees. It happened to be Christmas Eve, and so we invited them to join our Christmas Eve service. They came for the service. Turned out one of them was actually already a believer and had had to leave Afghanistan because he had converted to Christianity and had a death threat put on him by his family. He also brought his young wife, who was a Muslim with a hijab on, no English, and 5 months pregnant. She had been on the run from Afghanistan with her husband, pregnant, no maternity care, no antenatal care, no scans, no checkups, very poor diet. She was desperately underweight, and she was terrified because in her part of Afghanistan, 1 in 5 women will die in childbirth. She was absolutely petrified about giving birth, And so we had the privilege of caring for that family and their friend Khalil, who's actually the same age as Matthew. He's 16. He's also a refugee from Afghanistan, also Muslim. And as we have cared for them and fed them and helped them with hospital visits and translation, so Johnny has then also had the privilege and the opportunity to do Christianity Explored with Sarah and Khalil, with Asif, the husband, helping to translate into Farsi where that's needed. And Sarah came to faith just after she gave birth to her daughter in April. And just 2 weeks before we came to the UK, we had the privilege of seeing her being baptized in our church. It's a real privilege, these people who arrive on your doorstep. And we've worked with Buddhists for 20 years. We know how Buddhists think. We understand Thai people. We speak Thai. And suddenly the Lord brings you these people who you don't speak their language, you don't understand their culture. Where do you start? But their hearts were so tender and so open and so ready to hear the gospel. It's been a real privilege to work with them. So please pray for Khalil. He has shown signs of faith, but as of yet is not ready to be baptized, because he knows that if he is baptized, and if people in his community, even in Thailand, find out that he's been baptized, then there will be a death threat put on him as someone who's converted from Islam. So please pray for him. Pray for Asif and Sarah as they raise their little girl as well. Oh, sorry, I forgot to click the slide in there. So that's the baby Maya the day after she was born, and that's Sarah at the baptism. Okay, and then finally, the last thing that we have privilege of doing in Bangkok, having been in Thailand 20 years with some of the older missionaries in Thailand. We don't feel very old, but there aren't many missionaries, particularly in Bangkok, who've been there 20 plus years. So we have the joy and the privilege of training others, particularly Thai people, to share the gospel for themselves. So Johnny and Anne can do what two people can do, but obviously if we train others, we're able to multiply the spreading of the gospel. So on a Sunday afternoon, on your top left, I meet with a group of ladies from our church. 10 of us meet together. We open the scriptures. Some of those ladies haven't even completed primary school education, but they want to know more about how to study the scriptures. Some of those ladies are very highly educated, but we meet together. We are all equal as we open the scriptures. We help one another. We support one another. We're also involved in teaching in the Sunday school. We run the Sunday school program, but in running the Sunday school program, I teach once every 3 weeks. We have 5 Thai ladies that are working with me on teaching each week, and Johnny and I help to prepare the resources and help to make sure that they're equipped for teaching children in the Sunday school. And then Johnny has had the privilege to go beyond Bangkok, back up country, also into Vietnam and into the tribal areas in North Thailand with something called Langham Preachers, which is started by John Stott and involves training people to preach and to teach in the churches. And one of the ladies he works with is this lady called Somphon. Somphon lives about 180 miles from Bangkok. And she arrived at Langham training course 1 year and said, please train me, teach me. She had been converted through literature that she had received when in a city near her village. She lives on a farm in the middle of nowhere in a tiny little village. There are no churches. She'd never heard the gospel. She received some literature. She was converted. She went home really excited about this gospel message that she'd learnt. Her husband came to faith, her family came to faith, people in the village started coming to faith. And so being a woman full of initiative, she built a church on her farm. And there was only one problem, and that was they didn't have a pastor. And so they would gather together as a little group each week, and she would teach the scriptures. And she said every Saturday night she couldn't sleep because she was petrified that she would teach the wrong thing. She was a new believer. She knew very little. She was literally each week passing on what she'd learned that week. She asked different denominations if they could send a pastor. The answer was always no, we don't have anyone. Very few pastors want to go and work in rural Thailand where you get paid in chickens and rice rather than in money, and where there's no air conditioning and the roads are really not very good. And so there were no pastors to go to her church. So her next best thing was to come to Langham and to learn herself so that she could be confident that she was teaching the scriptures. She is still praying today for a pastor to come and pastor their village church. And she's not unique. We have many, many churches in Thailand who are crying out for pastors, for leaders, for trained men to come and lead their churches. So being involved in Langham is a real privilege for Johnny as he's involved in that ministry. And just very briefly, because I'm out of time already, I shall be getting rap knuckles. Do pray for us as a family. Raising three teenagers in a mega city comes with all sorts of joys and challenges. It is a privilege to be in Bangkok. Bangkok is home for our family. It doesn't feel like a sacrifice to be living in Bangkok. But do pray for us as a family that we would continue to be good ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Johnny and Anne, if you'd like to come out the front. And if you could be on this microphone together, I'm going to go around and take some questions. We'll do some questions, and then I'll invite a few people to pray for you both and for your children and the work. So, questions for Johnny and Anne. That could be on the message, or it could be on the ministry.
Great, let's go.
No. Sometimes they just take a little warming up. It's all right. Rodney.
Firstly, thank you very much for your graphic description of what you were doing there, and it's great to hear from you directly. I was wondering, what is the official Thai attitude towards Christianity? Is it a persecuting environment, or is there a fair amount of freedom in it?
It's not a persecuting environment. But there is a pressure upon Christians. We are a small minority. Maybe not 0.4% of the population would be evangelical. If you included every denomination across the board, even the cults, you might have maybe up to 1%. So most people have never met a Christian. But the official view is that Christianity is good. All religions are good. Therefore, all religions should be promoted. So when Christ Church, the main Anglican church in Bangkok, had dry rot in the roof, the King of Thailand underwrote the repairs. That would be quite common for the Thai government to say to the church, how can we help you? So it's very different from the UK secular attitude of all religion is dangerous and should be kept away. So my visa as a missionary lets me tell people about Jesus, teach the Bible and build up the church. So those are the three things the Thai government have allowed me to do. So you can't get much more free than that.
Actually, the group of people who've been most antagonistic towards us would be the foreign teachers in the international school. They find it really hard that these people have been in Thailand 20 years trying to change people's religion and culture as they see it. So that would be where we get most opposition.
I'm tempted to say, have you got the King of Thailand's phone number? But anyway, let's have another question. Thank you for that, Rodney. That was really helpful.
I think you mentioned you were working among the Buddhists mainly. What's the kind of the secular? Is it a secular society, or are most people practicing Buddhists? How do they kind of put that into their practice in their everyday lives?
To be Thai is to be Buddhist. So around about 95% of the country would be Buddhist, 4% would be Muslim, and that leaves about 1% or so for Christians and the rest. Thai people find it very strange when Westerners say, I have no religion, because that, in effect, is saying to a Thai person, I am an immoral person who has no moral standards. So actually, Anne would say that the people who are most supportive of her would be religious people, like parents of Buddhist children who say, thank you for setting moral standards for my kids. That's because obviously their experience with communism. So they would believe that if you have no religion, you can end up like Pol Pot and murder a million people. So it's very different. People are quite happy to talk about religion. They talk about religion all the time in their office. They might be having an offering and they'll go for a day trip to a temple or want to give money to things. So it's not shunted off to one side of their lives. But for young people, very much similar to the UK, they're into the shopping malls and watching videos on YouTube and going to parties and not so much going to the temple. Yeah.
Okay, now we have one more question. Bill.
There's probably a simple answer to this question. What's the best way of engaging with the Buddhist then, with the gospel?
The Lord has not left himself without a witness. And so in Thai culture, there are different things that we can use as bridges to take the gospel to Thai people. The situation in the cave, those 13 boys in the cave, they were lost. They were helpless. There was nothing they could do. They needed a rescuer. That's like our gospel. So the Lord brings these situations. The king of Thailand, not the present king, but the previous king, was very much an active humanitarian who left his palace, went out to his people, sweated up mountain trails, and brought social development to those who were the poorest. And we often use that as a Christ left heaven, came down to the earth to seek sinners. So Buddhist robes represent someone who has died. So if you go into the monkhood, you take on a new name, a new identity, and the original monk's robes were grave clothes that were taken off a dead body. So essentially they're dead men walking. So they cannot live the way we live. They have to eat before 11 a.m. They have 512 rules they have to keep. But we can say, well, as Christians, we are a little bit like a monk. We live a different life, but in the world, not out of the world. The Lord's given us bridges.
Thai people would be very relational as well. So often, where in the UK you might engage in apologetics, often with Thai people, we don't do a lot of apologetics, but we do the apologetics by living our lives amongst them. And by showing them Christ's love, by showing them that we love them in a way that is different to how other people love them. So in Thai society, you love people for what they can give to you or because of your status or your link with them, kind of where they fit in your pyramid of relationships. But showing people like Lek would be a classic example. We love her because Christ has loved us. And it doesn't matter that she's the lowest of the low in society. We love her because Christ has loved us. So often as you show people love, as you show compassion, as you engage with them as real people in real situations, as you go through the messy situations with people, that's when the opportunities then come to share why you're engaging with them in that way. And that actually is really hard because it's really, really slow. It takes a long time to get to those relationships. We've been in Bangkok now 7 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like in our church, we're now getting to that point where we've got those really deep, meaningful relationships with people where they understand that we're not just there to preach and teach, but we're actually there to live life with them. But it's taken 7 years. It's taken a long time.
Thanks, Anne. Any last questions? In which case, what I'd like, if would two or three people like to volunteer to come and pray for Johnny and Anne, I'll remind you of some of the things we talked about. Just show me a hand, if you'd be willing to do that. In which case, yes, well done, Ruth, that's great. Anyone else like to come up? Ruth, you can come up. Phil, come up, that's great. Two people who've formerly been on the mission field in their own way, so that's good. Just from some of the things that Anne was sharing before, we had the people, Lek, the Afghan couple. Who was the lady in the village?
who went on the Langham?
Sompon.
Sompon, great name. And then obviously we want to pray for you two and for your children. So, Ruth, we'll start with you, then hand to Phil, and then I'll mop up if there's anything left. So, let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful gospel of grace that we have, that doesn't leave us as we are, but changes us. Thank you so much for the story of Lek, who has received the Lord Jesus as her Saviour and is totally changed in her relationship with you and in her inner being and in her eternal future. But she has chosen to stay with her people and to be salt and light there. We do thank you for her faith, and we pray that you would protect her, protect her daughters, particularly from the influences that are in their immediate vicinity and in their community, and that those two girls would also grow up to know and love Jesus. And we do pray that there would be great fruitfulness from Lex's ministry, and that many more people will be reached in that slum area and become our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray too for Matt, Beth and Josh, for their faith, that you would draw them close, that you would build them on strong foundations, that they too would be salt and light in their school, amongst their friends, in the clubs that they're part of, and that you'd make them really secure and certain in the many blessings that we have in Christ, every spiritual blessing. We pray too for Johnny and Anne, that you would keep them strong in their faith, that you would feed and nurture them in the scriptures as they also try to lead and teach others with your as you teach them, that they seek to pass that on to others. We do pray that you would feed them greatly, that you bless them in their marriage as well, keep them strong. And especially as they minister to those in broken families and those going through difficult separations, we do pray that their marriage and their family would be a great example of marriage and family life as you intended it to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, God, that you catch us off guard at times. Thank you for bringing these folk from Afghanistan all the way to Thailand to hear of Jesus, to encounter the one who liberates, who gives new life. Thank you for the privilege they've had to minister with them. Thank you for the recent baptism. And we pray for those three now, that you would protect them with fear of death threats for turning to Jesus. Please would you give that young man courage to publicly declare his possible faith in Christ. We thank you for the way that Johnny and Anne are able to use the stories in the media to speak of Jesus. We do thank you again for the rescue of those boys in the cave. Thank you for the wonderful picture that is of Jesus coming into our world to rescue those in darkness. We thank you for the example of the king, the former king, who went out into his world to rescue his people. We pray for these stories, for just that daily living among the people of Thailand. Conversations in the office, in the classroom, on the bus, wherever, that you would take and bless them, and that through them Johnny and Anne and the boys and children would have a chance to speak of Jesus. And we pray you give them great patience in the building up of those relationships, that people will see the genuineness of their faith and their love. They would see that the practical love and care is an outworking of their love for Jesus. So please give them patience, but also courage to speak at the right time. And may patience never be confused with apathy. as Johnny and Anne and the family are here for a few weeks yet, we pray that you would give them a good rest amid all the deputation work they're doing, that they would return renewed, with renewed vigor and energy and an increased desire to use the opportunities that you bring their way to speak of Jesus. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you that around the throne, one day in the new heavens and the new earth, your praises will be sung in Farsi and in Thai and in all the languages of the world, as you gather those from every nation and tribe and tongue through the eternal gospel. Lord, thank you for the part that Johnny and Anne are playing in witnessing to Christ and in adorning that gospel with works of love and long-term commitment to the Thai people. Father, we pray that you would encourage them to continue. We know that 20 years in, we need fresh motivation to think of what Johnny was teaching from your word tonight. We need encouragement that our labor in you is not in vain, and so to press on. Lord, please keep them pressing on to the very end in the gospel of grace. And Father, we thank you so much for that lady, Sampan. Lord, for the wonderful story she is in her own life of the power of your gospel. But Lord, the way that you have laid on her heart to reach her friends and community with the Lord Jesus, to build a church building on her own farm. And Lord, thank you for the way that you're using her to bring good news and to encourage that young church. Lord, it is her desire, we've heard, that you call a pastor to that congregation. So we lift that request of hers to you, Heavenly Father, and pray that you might bring someone after your own heart to come and minister to that church congregation. And Father, as we close our time together, we lift both our nations before you. Father, it grieves us that in both England and in Thailand, the vast majority do not know the Lord Jesus. They have not hope nor God and are going on their way without you, and it seems impervious to their need. Father, please would you so pour out your spirit once more that he would convict the world of its guilt, of its need, and then just as he convicts, so we pray, bring people into your kingdom as new creatures through trusting in the Lord Jesus. Lord, encourage us when it seems our numbers are small, and though we labor in you, yet few come to believe. Lord, whether that's in Hartford or in Bangkok, please keep our eyes on you, our faithful God, and have mercy. Revive your church and renew these nations through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. In his name, Lord, we pray for Johnny and Anne, for their children, for their ministry, for those they've left behind and will soon be returning to. We pray for ourselves that we too would be faithful in word and in loving service as we serve Christ this week in our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.